Hey guys, it's Kyla
and Hallie,
and welcome back to JJ Live. Today's episode is called Bejeweled and Beyond, and we will be discussing everything Taylor Swift. So we brought in two experts. Can you introduce yourselves?
I'm Claire Clarkson.
I'm Abby Minton.
And so you went to the show in Cincinnati, correct?
Yep.
And then Abby went to the show in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I went to the show in Cincinnati too. Were you night one or two, Claire?
Night two.
Okay, I was night one. So what is your favorite album? Just to get to know each other a little bit. Claire, what's your favorite?
I think honestly my favorite album might be Reputation.
That's my favorite. My favorite's Reputation. Abby?
My favorite is definitely Red.
Yeah, you've always been a Red girl. Yeah, because you like all the really sad, the sad, depressing songs that Taylor writes, the breakup songs. And then what is your favorite overall song? I know that's really hard, but I think my favorite is, it's got to be Vigilante. I also really love Call It What You Want and Tolerate It.
My favorite's definitely How Did It End? A new one, but
yeah,
I love
that. That might be my favorite song.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
I'll have to agree with Abby. I like that song.
It's a good one.
Yeah. So our first topic that we'll be discussing is the Eras Tour. So like her economy, choreography, costuming, jobs created, donations, and her impact.
Taylor Swift's impact on the economy has been obviously absolutely crazy. I mean, when we went to the Eras Tour, I mean, the streets were absolutely flooded.
Yeah.
Hotel prices skyrocket. It was absolutely crazy. You guys can talk about that if you want.
It was definitely interesting to see how so many different businesses could take advantage of that. Like, of course, like, it was really funny. Like, the hotel that we ended up staying at, the lady at the front desk had made all, like, the bracelets.
Yeah.
And she was giving them out. And it was,
we had even, like, police officers handing us.
Yeah.
So, according to Rolling Stone, the Eras Tour has grossed $1 billion, which is so much. It's actually crazy. And according to CBS, she herself, her net worth currently is $1.1 billion. So the fact that the tour itself has grossed that much, and then her music separately, especially with her new album and all the Taylor's versions, she herself is a billionaire. And I believe she's the first person in the industry, at least as a woman, to be a self-made billionaire. And I believe, I think it was, I'm not sure about this, so I might need to be fact-checked, but I'm pretty sure Singapore signed a deal with her to perform around that region solely in Singapore, strictly for economic value, because people from, like, I don't know, like, Thailand would, like, travel to Singapore to see her.
Yeah.
And then to go with choreography, me and Abby have made several TikToks with doing the choreography.
Yeah.
She has a very specific style. That we love to we love to dance, but it's choreographed by Mandy Moore. She's on Dancing with the Stars. She's one of the judges. She was a special guest one time, choreographer. So she's absolutely crazy. She also choreographed the way the lifts go up and down, like on the stage, which is a huge part in making the show come to life. The stage is ginormous. Like when you're there, we sat in upper bowl, like in the lower part of the upper bowl, but when you see it, it is really close because of the scale of the stage. It's huge.
I think she has like 200 semi trucks like overall
just
going on tour with her.
And for Christmas she gave her truck drivers like bonuses of, wasn't it 100,000 each? She's one of the most like generous people I could honestly think of. Like, she's such an amazing like human, let alone artist. Like, she's such a businesswoman but is also such a philanthropist, which is something really unique you see in the industry. And then costuming, I don't even know where to begin with this because we just started a new kind of leg of the tour, I guess.
A new era.
We did start a new era.
Paris tour.
Yes. And she opened in Paris. And we were all blown away, I think.
I thought it was interesting that she, like, immediately threw in songs from, like, her newest album. And it didn't take her that long. And she had, like, this whole outfit ready.
Like, she's been planning it for a long time.
She's been writing it for, like, 2 years. So, you know, she had that in her back pocket. So we saw she had a new lover bodysuit. Well, I guess if we just go through the show.
Yeah.
How it used to be, she had Lover, where she would sing her set list, and that was like her Lover bodysuit, which is probably the most iconic. And then she had a couple Fearless dresses. She had an Evermore dress. And then does it go to Speak Now? There's like a Speak Now Red, Reputation. Yeah. And those each have their costumes. And then after that, you get into Folklore, which is a very long set. So for the new part of it, she combined Folklore and Evermore.
Yeah.
Which there's some mixed opinions about. What do you guys think about it?
It's a big no for me.
Claire?
I don't know. Like, I feel like they're already kind of like sister albums, so it's like, why not?
Yeah.
But then also, they are separate albums.
They are. I feel like Evermore doesn't get enough credit, but she cut Tolerate It, and I was so devastated. Favorite. I could not believe it. I looked at my dad when she cut it, and I was like, almost crying. Like, I could not believe it. Luckily, I did get to see it in person, but Tolerate It will definitely be missed.
Yeah, she cut a lot. Too,
she cut a lot of songs. Yeah, she cut Long Live, so now Speak Now only has one song.
Again.
So it's absolutely crazy. The costuming has been changing so much. We got a new surprise song dress.
It's like every concert, there's a new outfit.
Yeah, which is super entertaining, along with surprise songs. Basically, the surprise songs is where she has an acoustic song that she sings on guitar and a piano song. And each concert, you don't know what song it's going to be. What were your guys' surprise songs?
Mine was The Story of Us and Seven with Aaron Destrin.
Yes.
I think
you had three songs.
Yeah.
I missed one. I'm sorry. Yeah.
One. So jealous.
Yeah. It was, everyone was really surprised about that, but I think we had Call It What You Want, but I'm trying to remember the other ones.
And that was my favorite. It was one of my favorite songs, and I missed it by a day. And Ivy.
Yeah.
And I Miss You, I'm Sorry with Gracie Abrams. And then mine was Evermore and I'm Only Me When I'm With You. And I have to say, in the moment, I was a little disappointed because I was hoping for something like Death by a Thousand Cuts or New Romantics, like one of the more popular ones. And it was from debut in Evermore, which at the time were my least favorite albums, like my bottom two. But I feel like because they were my surprise songs, I've grown to have an appreciation for the album. I'm kind of glad that those were my surprise songs, but now I wish I could go back and like enjoy it again, now that I actually do know them better. Obviously, we have Mr. Kelsey joining the equation. What are you guys, just dive in, what are your opinions?
I think Taylor needs to teach him some dance moves. I think he has the same dance moves every single show.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
He's always got the hand going up and down, you know? Yeah.
I think he should join her on stage one concert.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're just,
So, obviously, Taylor's coming out of a six-year relationship that started in her Reputation era, and it was very private. It was with Joe Alwyn, and I guess we can kind of gather that he loved her, but the fame was
too much
of a toll,
which
is, it's a super hard situation. And she talks about in her new album how they're talking rings, talking cradles. Mm-hmm. She wishes she could unrecall how she almost had it all. And it's really sad to think about that you were with someone for 6 years, but because of your profession and something that you love, it kind of like pulls you apart. So I think Travis Kelce is good for her coming out of that and just being kind of like a lighthearted
and more public as
public
well.
Boyfriend that's used to the fame, and I think that's good for her. But I personally am not a huge fan of Travis Kelce. I think he has a temper and he's a lot for me at times. I'm not a huge fan, but I am glad that she is happy.
I agree.
Claire, do you have
He's definitely, like, a new face for her.
Yeah.
I feel like all her other, like, past relationships have been very much, like, almost, like, the same.
Mm-hmm. But like, singers.
Yeah. Like, singers, like, actors. Yeah, actors. Like, definitely people that are more into, like, the arts.
Yes.
So it's definitely, I think, maybe a good change.
Yeah. So who's your favorite ex? I know that's controversial. Obviously not Jake Gyllenhaal or any of those guys.
I would say Taylor Lautner.
I love Tom Hiddleston because I'm a Marvel person and I love Loki, but I don't know, I love Harry Styles.
True.
Yeah, that was an interesting those are both interesting situations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Taylor Lautner, I love Twilight.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I also love Taylor Lautner. Okay, and then we have her recent collaboration with Ice Spice.
Oh my gosh.
Abby, what do you feel?
It was very unexpected.
Yeah.
And not fitting, I feel like.
I agree. I think it was in light of her dating Maddie Healy. And
that was interesting, too.
Yeah, that was a whole nother thing. That was in between. It was a little fling between her time with Joe and Travis.
Yeah.
And we're not going to get too deep into it on this podcast, but there were some remarks made by Maddie Healy that I think prompted her to collab with Ice Spice. So if you're interested, you can look it up, but we're not going to talk about it on here. And then she also wrote a song on Tortured Poets called Thank You, Amy. And the K, the I, and the M are all capitalized. So
Easter egg.
Yeah.
We all know about this.
So, obviously, Kanye, we're not huge fans of over here.
No, or Kim.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah.
Now, I think we, as Swifties, there's people we don't like as a group of people, but I feel like we don't hate on them as hard as other groups of people do, because we're just, like, loving people, like, as a society, I feel like, as a department. So, I think... Well, we don't like Kanye or Kim necessarily.
Who really does, though?
Yeah.
Who really loves Kanye?
Yeah.
Kind of got a little weird in the past
few
years.
Yeah, he's a little crazy.
There's some interesting stuff going on there. I feel like there's just some stuff that he's done, especially with Taylor, that feels really, really wrong and, like, vulgar.
Like, just some of the stuff he says, just, like, that did not need to be said.
Yeah.
There was a music video that he made called Famous.
Yeah.
Don't watch it. I can't believe that it's even legal, honestly.
Yeah, I can't even
The things that he says about her and displays her as is honestly really awful.
Yeah.
So she wrote a song about Kim K. What were your thoughts on it? Yeah.
I love it. I think it's great.
She kind of hates on her a little bit, honestly.
She does, but I mean, Kim hates on her, too, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in a good amount.
Yeah, it's interesting. Their relationship is kind of weird, because I feel like Taylor's a very forgiving person.
Yeah.
But also, she has been so brutal to her and has literally, like, led her into a spiral.
And just keeps it going.
Yeah, to an unnecessary degree. That's definitely an interesting dynamic. And then that leads us to talking about the Taylor's versions. So what do you guys think about the Taylor's versions and her branding of all of it? What's your favorite ones? Do you think the recordings sound the same?
I would say my favorite is Red, just because of all the vault tracks.
Mm-hmm. I really like Speak Now. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good one. And I love I Can See You. And Taylor Lautner, who we were talking about earlier, one of her exes, is in the music video, and they're friends now, and he actually married another girl named Taylor, so it's Tay, Tay-Tay, and Taylor.
Yeah.
I love what she did with Speak Now in Red, but I think 1989.
The vault tracks are so good. Yeah.
They're perfect.
I do really like the vault tracks on that one. I think the only thing that she did with Taylor's version, that it really wasn't her, it was more her branding team with 1989, is it seemed almost too coastal.
Yeah.
Like, I understand in the beginning, like, in the original 1989, there was some coastal references.
Seagulls.
Yeah.
And seagulls, but I feel like 1989, to me, is kind of, like, dark city, bright lights, like, pink
very,
and
like,
blue.
Young and, fun.
And, like, pop, like, new pop star. Yeah. And I felt like it was too kind of, like, beachy almost when you've got songs like Bad Blood and Welcome to New York.
Yeah,
it just seemed kind of, like, the branding was off. I don't know. But I still really like
1989.
Mm-hmm.
The songs.
And me and Abby, I know we collect... Well, do you collect records? You have some.
Yeah.
You have a signed... Do you want to talk about that?
So I have
your Christmas present?
Yes. And a guitar pick.
Do you want to tell the story?
What's the story?
How you got the pick and all that.
Well, my brother's girlfriend went to Taylor's first, like, one of her first concerts, and got the pick.
So basically, you have a guitar pick that Taylor played the entire show
and
with.
Her bracelet from her arm.
Which was before friendship bracelets was a thing. Before you're on your own kid, even.
I have the OG.
That's so cool.
Yeah. OG bracelet.
And it's signed. No. It's in your room.
I just look at it and admire it.
Well, every time I come over to your house, it's like just an explosion of Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Which, I feel like both of our houses is like that.
Yeah.
Posters everywhere. You've got all the VIP stuff. We've got our popcorn buckets. Me and Abby went to the movie theater together, and we were probably the only people standing up really getting into
it. You gotta get into it.
And we were in like the first row of the elevated part. So, I hope we weren't blocking anyone, but we were really getting into it. Like, yeah.
So fun.
So, the legalities of Taylor's version is very interesting. Claire, do you want to talk about that?
Of course. It started because they sold her...
Big Machine.
Yeah. Her, like, producer, like, her album.
Scooter Braun.
They made a deal, like, kind of behind her back, sold her music. She didn't own it anymore, so...
And they were bullying her with Kanye.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he said the record label, they said he would never sell it to Scooter. And he did it anyways.
Yeah.
Without her permission.
And in Taylor's words, the 33 million reasons to...
And he had 33 million reasons to forget about that conversation.
Yeah. So they sold her music for $33 million.
Which luckily, it's worth so much more.
Oh, yeah. It's priceless. And clearly so, now that her net worth is $1.1 billion, she's created an empire, her Taylor's version. Me and Abby have had a party over at our house, like a little Speak Now party. Yes. It was just us. No one else.
It was our own little party.
It was me and Abby.
Yeah.
And we just listened to it all night and danced to it. And yeah, it really just, like, her music just brings people together. And I think if you guys want to talk about your experiences with bracelet trading and meeting people and all that.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, a big, like... just meeting new people and like coming together,
like everyone,
like having something in
so
common.
Friendly.
Yeah,
like we walked into the concert and we, like, our parents dropped us off, me and my sister, and they were expecting kind of like more like the Rolling Stones, like people throwing stuff, and they're like, this doesn't really look like a rowdy like that type concert
and crowd. Especially like the accepting. Like, the accepting
like,
culture.
Everyone's themselves.
Obviously, Taylor's come out saying she's an ally of the LGBTQ community.
Yes.
So, just the accept... And obviously, like, again, the man, which she sings, which is about female power.
Yeah.
And feminist movement, I guess.
And you need to calm down, too.
Yeah. So, all of that, you definitely see that coming into play with... the culture at the concert, which is absolutely amazing. It's very inclusive for everyone, and everyone feels heard and seen. Me and Abby actually went to Starbucks not too long ago, and I was wearing my Taylor Swift cardigan, and the barista started talking to us. She's like, I love your cardigan, I'm going to the show. And I always have a friendship bracelet on me at all times. I keep them packed in my bag just in case I meet someone. And so I gave her a friendship bracelet, and we were like, oh my gosh, like this is so fun. I did that too in Nashville, and I met someone. There was live music being played, and I requested Taylor Swift, and she came over, and we traded bracelets. Now I have her on Snap, and we're friends. So it's just like, you can meet anyone, like, in the wild. Like, no matter who you are. Yeah, in the wild. No matter who you are as a person, but it's a great way to meet people.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
It's enchanted.
Yes.
Yes.
To have you on the podcast. So thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast. It's great to talk with
anytime
you.
Anytime to talk about Taylor.
Anytime. Literally anytime.
Anytime.
Yeah, it was so much fun. So hopefully we will get Reputation Taylor's version soon.
Yes.
And Taylor Swift Taylor's version soon. So we'll keep an eye out for that. And so thank you guys for being on Bejeweled and Beyond, and we will see you guys soon.